Well, we're in the last kind of final verses in the book of Ephesians. And I did a little math this week, and I applied our approach to Ephesians. Six chapters, it looks like it's going to be 18 weeks of studying this book. And then I calculated how long it would take us if we did this same method to go through the entire Bible. So never missing a week, 52 weeks a year, no cheating, it's going to take us 3,486 straight weeks. Now you translate that into years and it's 67 years. So let's assume that I live until age 90. I have already missed 30 years of my own teaching. So from now on, we're going to talk a little faster. We're going to move a little quicker. Isn't that kind of a crazy deal? Yeah. All right. Remember last week, Ephesians, before we received Christ, Galatians chapter 5 talks about that. We struggle with our own flesh. We struggle with the world. The world wants to convince us that pleasure is the answer, that power is the answer, that prestige is the answer, that having a hefty pocketbook is the answer. We struggle with that. And then we struggle with the devil, who wants to make sure that all of this works against us. It goes on to say, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." So this is kind of so beyond the scope of humanity and what, you know, through our normal cognition we can understand. We call it spiritual warfare. It's a warfare that is beyond what you and I can see. And so it says, "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor." So what's so beautiful about this is that Paul is saying, hey, you don't have to create this. You just have to apply it to your life. "Put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in times of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm." Okay, now it's time to consider what it looks like to wear the actual armor of God. Chapter 6, verse 13, it says this, "Stand your ground, put on the belt of truth." Paul goes on, there's six different pieces of that armor. And remember this, so Paul is writing this from a prison cell. He's been in prison, and Paul, I would think, had a great observation point of what a soldier's armor looked like. He was guarded every single day, and he had this picture of what it looks like, the ideal picture of a soldier. And then Paul contrasts this for you and me that we might combat the forces of evil. So let's think about this belt of truth. Pretty simple, but it's basically used to hold the soldier's clothes against their body. Why? Because they didn't want their body flapping. They didn't want, they needed to have control and the ability to have freedom of movement. It also was used for strength and support of the body. And before they put on the armor, they put this belt around their waist. As a follower of Christ, this belt, I don't know how else to say it, but it would be simply this. It's our life foundation. It provides freedom and movement for God's plan in your life. And when we say, hey, you need to put on the belt of truth, it kind of beckons the question, the age-old question, what is truth? What is that your truth or my truth or what is truth? Can we actually know what truth is? It's a question that's not new. Remember Pilate? He says, "So you're a king." Jesus responded, "You say I am a king? Actually, I was born and came into this world to testify to the truth. All who love truth recognize that what I say is true." What is truth? It's a good question. Can we really know truth, or is it relative to each person's circumstance, the time we live in history? Maybe you've heard this before. Hey, my truth may not be your truth, but it is truth to me. So truth can be sometimes relative, even though it's a lie. I believe for many years, I'm embarrassed about this, that a vampire bat was going to come into my bedroom and bite me on the neck. I think until I was 20, I slept with a blanket right here. I don't care how hot it is. Doesn't matter. Never was a window open. Because if the window was open, the vampire bat could fly in to my room and bite me on the neck. Maybe some of you have watched that movie. Billy the Kid versus Dracula. Has anyone ever seen that? It was a horrible movie. My brother and sister took me to see that. I was like 4 years old. This bat flies in, turns into a vampire, and then bites people on the neck. Hey, that was truth. If you would have tried to tell me at 7 years old, "Jim, that's not true." Get it? Like, you know, when you see an elevator crash, right before it hits the ground, jump. You'll be fine. I actually believed that. When I was a little kid, I actually believed I could fly. So I jumped on the back. Our neighbors were going out of town. They had their camper. I jumped on the back, was riding down the street, and I thought, uh-oh, we're going to go past my street, and I'm not allowed to go past that. Well, they were traveling pretty good. I thought, well, I'll just jump off. Let me just tell you, that was a lesson that I learned. And I tried to fly. I thought, I can fly down these stairs at grandma's house. I mean, I've got big hands. You think I could fly? No, I didn't fly. But I believed it. Well, what do you believe? Was that truth? It felt like truth. I think we can do better than that. Historically, we do understand that truth can be known. I read this week about what they call the corresponding theory of truth. And it kind of goes like this. This is a podium. The statement is true because it corresponds to factual evidence in the real world. There is truth, and truth can be known. Each of us at some point in life has to figure out what we believe and what we're going to buckle around our life to guide our life. And here's why. We behave according to our belief. I jumped off some stairs because I thought I could fly. I held a blanket up around my neck. There were times I remember as a kid, I'm sweating like crazy, but it's like, No way am I going to give room for a vampire in my life. You behave what you believe. The belt has to hold our decisions together. And when Paul refers to this belt of truth being strong in the strength of Christ, he is talking about Jesus Christ is in fact the truth, and Jesus Christ proclaimed that truth in his word. Let me just give you a couple of examples here. In John, it says this, "And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In John 14, it says this, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 17, It says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. You really have to consider, especially in the present day, what you choose to believe. What is truth? If you want to have a strong life, you need to have a strong belt around your life. I love what Jesus said here. This is the reason why we need to understand truth according to Scripture. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are indeed my disciples, and you shall know the truth, not a truth, not a part of truth, not perhaps this is a subjective thought process that can work here but not work here, but maybe work here, but it's antiquated because it was written 2,000 years ago, or it can't work in this day and age. Jesus didn't say that. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Everything in your spiritual life is fastened and held together by what your core belief is. Without a solid foundation, without a foundation that can withstand the daily pressures of life, the setbacks in life, without a foundation, then life gets really interesting. And this is nothing new. It started way back in the beginning. Listen to what happened early in the book of Genesis. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. All right, remember this. God created the devil, not to be a devil, but to be a beautiful angel. And that angel had a choice, and that choice was to rebel against God. God created you, God created me, and he created us with a choice. He created us with a choice to love and serve him, or because he loves us so much, he also let us have a choice if we want to not serve him. One day he asked the woman, talking about the devil, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any tree in the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, now either it was true what God said or it was not true. But Eve repeats back to the shrewd serpent, God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The serpent, the shrewd devil, loves to twist the truth. Hey, Eve, God knows if you eat this, you're going to be better. He's holding back. Trust me. Satan always promises you a couple of steps more than God intends. And they sinned, and we're still paying the price for it today. Remember John 8, Jesus said, you shall know truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth brings freedom. But have you ever just like, I don't want to hear the truth. I kind of want to do this, and I don't want to hear the truth. Well, this is why Jesus had so much conflict when he was here on earth. The religious leaders were taking the religion of God and turning it into profit for themselves. And Jesus said, this is not good. You're not going to act like you're godly and take what is godly and use it for your own benefit. And so there's quite a discourse between Jesus and the religious leaders. I mean, it's a pretty, I mean, Jesus calls them out and it gets pretty ugly. This is what John 8 says. For you are the children of your father, the devil. These are the religious leaders of Jesus' day. And you love to do evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is constant with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So then they respond as the chapter goes on, and the Jews hated Samaritans. Samaritans were about the worst cuss word that you could hear from a Jew. I mean, it was just an awful, rotten word. And they call Jesus a Samaritan demon. I mean, it's bad enough that you call God Almighty, the Son of God, who is full of truth, a demon, but now you attach him, you're a Samaritan demon. And Jesus speaks right back at him like, we're done with you. So they pick up rocks and they're going to stone Jesus to death. But you can't kill truth. And so the scripture goes on and Jesus just walks right through their midst. I mean, it's powerful. And there's so many verses in the scripture. The book of Romans talks about this. It says, they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his visible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. And our nation has had beautiful moments where we have known God. I remember when the Twin Towers were hit, and it was such an awful time. Many, many people, I don't care if you were in politics or not, you were praying for God's help. When things get hard, they say there are no atheists in foxholes. We cry out to God. It's at this. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. The best universities in this country were founded on biblical, godly principles. Yale, Harvard, Princeton, they were founded on the things of God. And they knew truth. But now we've gotten so wise, well, God, because it conflicts with how I want to live. Even in the Bible, I remember, you know, there was higher criticism, redaction criticism. Oh, this isn't the word of God. It contains words from God. The redactor, the writer, this isn't consistent with his character, so let's cut that piece out. How beautiful is that? Have a Bible that works to accommodate your life however you want to live. It's not the word of God. It contains words from God, but not all of the words. The devil is smooth. So, so smooth. They claimed to be wise. Instead, they were utter fools. instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and the birds and animals and reptiles. We're not going to worship the God who created things. No, let's worship the things He created. Here's how it works. I want God, and I want truth, and I want it to accommodate how I live. So I've got to make a God who kind of is like me. And He's going to do what I want Him to do, and that way I won't have conflict, because everybody has to strap this belt of truth of some sort, because that's how we live. So it goes on in Romans, says, they traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And it goes on. I think sometimes we can say, see, look at that. But don't just see, look at that. Look at how it goes on. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. This is talking about people who say, I want to serve God, but I want it to be what I want. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. That's so powerful. And when this was written in the original Greek, they didn't stop here in the end of chapter 1. This is what somebody put in here. So we have Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 32, then chapter 2, because if I just say, hey, Romans, you're going to go, how do I get there? Well, chapter 2 continues, and I love this. It says, you think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad, and you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are actually condemning yourself. For you who judge others do these very same things. And we know that God in His justice will punish anyone who does such things. Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? It's easy for church people to point out sins. But quite frankly, every sin is a sin. I love this next verse. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that His kindness is intended for you to turn from your sin? You know, friends, here's the reality today. There can be nothing but trouble when we trade the truth of God for sin. words for seemingly sweet talking lies. God will never bless in my life sin. God's not going to bless sin in my life, even if the whole world says, Jim, it's okay. Be you. No matter if the whole world applauds me, God is not going to contradict himself and bless sin. God hates sin. And there still are black and whites in a gray world. What are you going to buckle onto your life that supports everything? What is it that you're going to believe that's going to, in turn, lead you how to behave? You know what I love about God? He hates sin, but he sent his son to die on the cross for every one of us sinners. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. And this judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved darkness more than light, for their actions were evil. All who hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so that they are doing what God wants. Each of us at some point has to figure out what we believe. As a Christ follower, this belt of truth is an anchor point and a solid foundation on which I've tried to build my life. My truth belt is not to beat or condemn somebody else, but to give support and direction back to God. Anyone who will listen to me. There is truth. And that truth will set us free. My belt of truth isn't to beat somebody up, but it's to lift them up. It's to hold them up. It's to help them up. There are times in my 58 years, I have deeply wrestled with truth. I have rejected the truth, and I have been broken by the truth. If I know anything, Christ has always wanted me back and has been wonderfully kind to me. This belt of truth has not only blessed my life, I believe it has saved my life, and it holds everything together for me, whatever happens now and whatever happens next. It is a foundation upon which I have been able to build my life, and it will not only carry me through today and tomorrow. This belt of truth will carry me into eternal life. Not because of anything I have done or I haven't done, other than I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I have tried to let him be the CEO of my life and my life decisions. But I don't always do great at that, even though I want to. I don't always have the perfect thought. I can't tell you that I'm not going to be mad tomorrow at somebody in traffic. I can't tell you that I've never thought a bad thought. I can't tell you that I'm better than anybody else. But what I can tell you is that I have a book and an author that I can trust. Period. And as we think about the armor of God, you have to think about your foundation, that thing that holds. I wear a belt, and there's a reason. They don't make pants like they used to. This belt has held up everything that needs to be held up today. That's spoken from a true flat belly. Yep. Friends, I want you to know I love you today. And there's truth. There is truth. And that truth will set you free. And Christ doesn't matter. He doesn't mind if you wrestle with that truth. Some of us at times in life have rebelled against that truth. I want to do my thing, and don't you tell me what to do. Some of us have been held captive by that truth, and it has broken us. What are you holding on to today that's going to still be valid tomorrow? What are you holding on to today that will not only transcend this generation, but every generation to come until we meet Jesus face to face? That's what I'm talking about today. God loved us so much. He said, it's not about me, it's about you, and I'm going to die. I'm going to let my son die so you can know truth. The problem, picking sides for anything or anyone, but tell me that I'm not saying something that you feel. Would somebody please just tell me the truth so that I can live my life? Well, here's the truth. Oh, the truth shifted. Now the truth's got to change. And you got to change. And here's the truth. It's like trying to grab air. That's never happened with God's word. Never. It's the most scrutinized book in history. You can hang your hat where you want to, but I'm going to hang mine right here. Whoa, got a little fired up. For those of you who don't know me, that's about as far as I'm ever going to move. I think I strained something doing that. I love every one of you. And this is a bold statement, but I'm going to say it. If Christ were standing right here today, he would have said just what I said. He would have said, there still is truth. I can't say this, but Christ would have said this. I am the truth. I am the way. I am life. Christ would stand here today and say, you want to know truth? Welcome to being set free. If the devil were standing right here today, he'd say, no. Take this fruit. It's good for you. It's not really a sin. Everybody's doing it. No. You're good. That's how you get ahead. No, that's not going to hurt you. You need that to mellow you out. No. He'd say, yeah, you're right. You are a loser. You don't deserve anything. God will never love you again because of what you've done. Can you imagine a created being that has chosen never to speak truth, but always a lie because he hates God that much? It's crazy. Let's pray together this morning. God, I thank you that I'm nobody's judge today, and I'm thankful for that. I love Hope Church and people in the building. I love Hope at home. I don't judge today. I want to lift people up. I want people to know, I want to be reminded that the truth is what sets us free. God, I pray a simple prayer that we would know that you have come to give us life, that this belt of truth to help us fight off the enemy is real. And God, I pray that we would know, even though there are things in our society that completely go against your word, completely try to make us feel bad if we want to stand up for your word, that it's still true. And I thank you that there is truth today. And his name is Jesus, the one who died for us that we might have freedom. God, I pray that we would receive Christ if we haven't received Christ. I pray that we would follow you. I pray that we would get to know your word so we can bounce off what our own feelings are, what our culture is telling us. We can bounce off when the enemy tries to lead us down a deceptive path. Father, if we do anything this week, I pray that we think about truth and how to buckle it onto our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.